Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, greeting you from the Overland Park, Kansas side of the virtual kitchen table, and I have my buddies with me. Hi, guys.
Hello, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. Glad to be with you again. And as you all know, we are the co-founders of an online ministry called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.com. We've also provided a shortcut for you to get to us, and it's called yourspiritualpractice.com.
I was going to say plain English. It does that better than the original, but there you go. So I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my weekly blog, The Absolute Word, as well as my calendar so you can see where I'm at. Please stop by and visit me wherever I am. And so, yes, it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And you know what I'm going to say? It's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
Yeah, Buddha.
So I don't know about everybody else, but it is hot where we are.
Oh,
hot,
yeah. So with all these storms going through here, the storms have been wicked, first of all. And second of all, it's been hot and humid, too. We went from spring to summer already, right?
Yes. So that's why we have to have a beautiful day.
Beautiful.
In our consciousness.
In our consciousness. Yes, indeed. So we're continuing with our two segments, and our first segment is looking at law, and today we're looking at the law of soul evolution, and we might get to the law of soul urge, and then, of course, the second segment, we're continuing our wonderful romp with Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited, and it's Cher's choice, and she chose work, right?
I know. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, try to take a different look at that. Four-letter word.
We're going with a four-letter word, work. So, Cher, I'm switching over to my handout, and now we can start looking at the law of soul evolution.
All right, and this comes from Charles Fillmore's 12 Powers book. Interesting read.
Yes.
Soul evolution. Here's what Charles says. Every cell of the body is enveloped in soul or thought, and its initial impulse is to conform to the divine natural law. When this law is not observed by the will of man and cells are reduced to the slavery of lust, they combine with other cells of like condition, and rather than submit longer to the debased condition, they destroy the organism. But the destruction of the cell as matter does not destroy it on the mental plane. The mental entity survives and again seeks to carry out the great law of soul evolution that was implanted in it from the beginning. Thus, the repeated incarnations of the soul, not only of the soul cell, but of the great aggregation of cells known as man, are found to be a fact that explains the continuity of traits of mind and body handed down from generation to generation. It is not in the flesh that we inherit, but in the thoughts of the flesh. The flesh has returned to dust, but the memories, its memories, endure until a higher mind power cleanses and lifts them to pure states of consciousness.
Holy cow.
My word.
Holy cow. Do you remember a few weeks ago we did that one that said, if you think by dying, you're going to change your personality, but your personality goes with you. So,
yeah.
So you better buck up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of related to this. I wouldn't have thought this was a reincarnation quote. And since I looked it up so long ago, I didn't remember that. But wow. So this is a very detailed description of how things happen. And the cell and body can die, but the thought that maintained that cell continues on. And I think today we would say thought feeling, wouldn't we?
We would, yeah. Both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's something we've never talked about, is if our personality goes on, our thoughts go on, but I've never heard anybody talk about feeling nature on the other side. Have you, Bill?
Just from other reading where they equate that to the astral plane, which is built on feelings and memories.
Okay, so the astral plane, I've been talking about that connection recently. So I didn't remember that detail about the astral plane. So that now that makes a lot of sense. And just for reference, I just looked up. This is in the chapter on renunciation, which is the power of elimination. That's where it's found in the 12 powers text. So that's interesting. So do you want to do this sentence by sentence and see what we get, or how do you want to do this?
Sure, maybe, yeah, one or two at a time, because he's really, I'm trying to decide if I agree with what he said or not. That's where I am. So I'm still processing it. There's a lot here.
So let's just process it a little bit out loud then.
Okay. Every cell of the body is enveloped in soul or thought, and its initial impulse is to conform to the divine natural law. So what he's saying there, I guess, is that our cells have intelligence, and they, at the highest level, they are doing that work that keeps us healthy.
And what's really interesting is we know when Charles wrote this, and I can tell you from my research that epigeneticists would say the same thing, a little bit different language, but they would say that each cell in our body is an intelligent.
And that's what Myrtle said.
Yep.
She talked to the intelligence of her body. So
yep.
They were ahead of their time. It's not saying anything about feeling, which I would like to see there. And the initial impulse, I think the impulse of that thought is to follow the law of mind action. Even if it's in the negative direction. I think that's what he gets to.
See, I was thinking he was talking about from a wholeness health point of view, that this, how the cells work together in our body, that we're designed to be whole and healthy, and our cells have a way of working that makes that true. But when we interfere with that by not eating right or not giving it exercise or that, or it could be thoughts too and feelings, then those cells get messed up and actually rotate in the opposite direction even, and that messes up the whole system.
And that both are true, because both are operating through either mind idea expression or the law of mind action.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you're in, how do you get unhealthy? It's through that negative thought feeling process part of it, right?
Yep.
So, so go ahead, Cher.
Okay. So we kind of covered the second one, when the law is not observed by the will of man and cells are reduced to the slavery of lust. That's an interesting phrase. They combine with other cells of like condition, and rather than submit longer to the debased condition, they destroy the organism.
Okay, so this is one of those examples when this law is not observed by the will of man or the choices of humankind. This is one of those places where Charles makes it sound like we can choose not to follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, we always have to obey and stick with mind idea expression or the law of mind action.
And what I like about this is what Charles is saying here is, in our recent spiritual cafe, I made the statement that there are many people who believe that there are spiritual causes to humankind's illnesses. And that's not what Charles is saying here, and that's not what I believe. It's spiritual is not the cause of human illness. What is the cause is what you just said, Paul, when due to mind idea expression, when we choose different negative kinds of things, self-defeating, divinity denying thoughts and feelings, that's what causes illness.
Right. And if I'm tracking with you here, when people read or learn from other sources that there are spiritual causes of illness, I believe when I've read that, it's been connected to the idea that spirit gives us these illnesses so we can learn lessons. So it's a way in which spirit is guiding us, which
just
blows everything out of the water.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I kind of think what he means when he says when this law is not observed, I think what he means, if I could interpret Charles, would be more that when we choose incorrect actions and thoughts and feelings, the law is actually working, but we're working it in a way we don't want it to resolve.
Yeah, and that's what we're interpreting into it, because in other places he does talk about the misuse of law. It's just the way he's languaged it here is a bit of a problem. Mm-hmm. And then this whole idea, they combine with other cells of like condition. So I'm seeing there as a reflection of the combining of the negative thoughts and feelings to grow that thought feeling colony. Yeah. And of course the cells reflect that. Mm-hmm. And then they say, and rather than submit longer to the debased condition, they destroy the organism. Isn't that interesting? The cells kind of, well, they don't have a choice in a way. Mm-hmm. But
they're responding the way they are designed to respond.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, but the destruction of the cell as matter does not destroy it on the mental plane. The mental entity survives and again seeks to carry out the great law of soul evolution that was implanted in it from the beginning.
Yeah. So we would just add mental feeling, right? Mm-hmm. Not just mental.
Yeah. Yeah. And so here he's talking about how it gets passed on, right? I mean, that's really what this is talking about.
And for me, thoughts and feelings, to me, equate as consciousness. The cells have consciousness, and that's what he's talking about here.
I think we could go with that. And we've got to remember here now, we should have done this on the front end, when he talks about soul, he's referring to the personality. Because the soul is the sum total of the conscious and subconscious minds.
Yep.
Right? And what is the person, what are we aware of? What is consciousness aware of in there? With thoughts, ideas, beliefs, images, feelings, emotions, experiences, yep. attitudes, all of that. And all of that goes on, as I understand it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting to.
Okay.
Okay. So thus, the repeated incarnations of the soul, not only of the soul cell, but of the great aggregation of cells known as man, are found to be a fact that explains the continuity of traits of mind and body handed down from generation to generation.
Yeah. So just to do the word substitution, thus the repeated incarnations of the personality, not only the personality cell, but of the great aggregation of cells known as, I would, instead of saying man, I would say as individuals, yes?
Yeah.
So this is a explanation of reincarnation.
And I don't, it's even more, to me, it's not just reincarnation as much as group, what would it be called? Like when we in our families, people see similar traits among family members. So it's not the same person reincarnating as all those people as much as these are people who share that same consciousness of personality.
Well, there would be that too.
Yeah. And then he goes handed down from generation to generation. I don't know. I'm thinking he means more than
So you go from generation to generation, and I do too. And then he says it is not in the flesh that we inherit, but in the thoughts of the flesh. Again, we would say the thoughts and feelings, and to what degree what we're transferring, those thoughts, feelings affect the genetics, affects the telomeres and all of that. We don't really know. No one's been able to prove that.
Right.
But it makes sense. And for those people who think that Charles had a very excellent handle on the implications of reincarnation, they get the answer here. Charles had a very mature understanding of what reincarnation is. And of course, as we know, for him, the current life was the point of power, not your past lives.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
he's not getting into the whole, and when we're not embodied, we're reviewing our lifetime, we're seeing how we messed up or any of that.
Yep.
He's simply saying the personality goes on and on and on.
Right. Yep. Right.
Wow.
Let's just finish it up. The flesh is returned to dust, but its memories endure until a higher mind power cleanses and lifts them to purer states of consciousness.
That is really good stuff.
Which is all about how we grow spiritually and why it's so important to continue enriching our spiritual awareness in all the different ways that we can do that.
Yeah. Very
and
good.
I'd like to say one more thing since Cher brought up this last sentence. It's interesting. And from a corporate standpoint, Sharon and I have done some corporate work. Now we're moving full-time into spiritual. But one of the things that we taught and that is being taught in corporate is that the margin is in the memories.
The margin's in the memories.
And they're talking about bringing customers back time and time again. Well, what's interesting about this analogy then is what Charles is saying about the memories endure. As we come back, our memories, in a very real sense, are the margin of our continued spiritual growth or not.
And our memories include, I know this is broken record, but that memory includes the feeling nature side.
Yep. Absolutely.
And in marketing, in marketing, if the memory isn't a good memory, you're not coming back.
Absolutely. Exactly. That's the whole key. So we want to create positive memories. And that's what we want to do in this life.
Yeah.
Is regardless of what memories we're bringing with us, we want to create in this now moment the positive, strong memories that will override that and move us upward.
And that's why the process that you and Bill have created, the one where you work with other people.
Oh, the Order of the Sacred Path.
The Order of the Sacred Path. That's the purpose of that, creating mm-hmm. a change in your personality and change in who you are. And in my becoming exceptional, it's the same concept, different approach. And one approach will help one group and one approach a different group. Right. And this is what we're all about. Let's find out those things that aren't working and how do we upgrade those.
Yep. In a structured way that makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. In a workable way, not in some vague way that's not applicable. Okay. It's time for us to pivot. Let's go to Reverend Bill's book, Unplugged and Unedited, and share we're doing work. And the work is found on page 203 of Reverend Bill, Unplugged and Unedited.
Okay, let me put my glasses on.
Your glasses on so you can see.
I haven't worked through the need for no longer having glasses. Okay, so work. Here's what new perception on looking at work. And this is Bill talking, our message to people in unfulfilling work is that work isn't a static endpoint or even merely an exercise in putting food and bread on the table. It's a lifelong pilgrimage in which the human flesh and blood you is tested, refined, deepened, and transformed in the world of business. In work as in life, people must be willing to do the right thing. And the right thing is to be courageous enough to express your super self because your divine nature is your only saving grace. Your conscious alignment with your super self will keep you centered and prosperous in whatever work you choose to do and give you the courage to keep your power, status, and position in perspective.
Wow. And you've introduced a new term here.
Super self.
Super self. I really like that. I wrote it down and then I noticed you had it trademarked.
For us, our super self, we've even refined that language and called it the universal self, and that's YOU universal self, which is the extraordinary us.
Yep.
And it's a combination of our human nature, our quantum nature, and our divine nature.
Yeah, and that's where we keep riffing back and forth in a way. And you use the word extraordinary and I use exceptional.
Uh-huh. Same. Yep.
And I got that concept, to put it that way, from you guys. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Yeah. Wow, that was pretty good.
So it's really telling people, you know, don't judge your self-worth by the work you do. That the work you do is an expression, no matter what it is, work you happen to find yourself in, that you can always find a way to use it for your own expression.
So as long as we keep entering into the work we do in this relative world from merely or simply our level of personality, what you're saying is that any work you do will be enhanced, and you will enhance yourself by remembering to do it from a higher level of consciousness, your super self or your universal self. Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. Where it's YOU universal self.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's pretty clever.
And there's one little, he has one more little keeper down here, a little tweet. I guess it would be a good tweet. When the spiritual work you do sheds light, occasionally you'll get burned by those who want to live in the dark.
Oh, Lordy, Lordy. Yes. Yeah, so we get that. Those are the people who cry sacrilege, right?
Yes.
When someone's trying to move on. And I finally sat down and wrote like a little, I guess you call them a white paper.
White light paper now. Yeah, corporate is white paper. Light,
right. You probably have that trademark too. Yeah, on why it is we say things like, in the traditional way, I am God or I am Christ or I am divine, why we do that. Mm-hmm. And I still get that question. And I just finally, as a former student and minister now, wrote to me and said, will you help me explain that again? I went, okay, this is time. So I wrote it up.
Oh,
I need to review it.
And then post it on your website.
Actually, I'll review it. I'll post it on my website. But more importantly, I'll send it to you guys for review. And you can post it for our resources, which are found at bit.ly/. Or you changed it?
No, we just have it on our Metaphysical Rock 2 site now.
It's okay. That's, I knew that. Yeah. Okay, great. So let us pivot to the Absolute Word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. This is from May 26, 2019. The words are, in the silence. In the silence, I find my true self. I am peaceful. We could say, I find my super self, or we could say, my universal self, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rather than allow my mind to be easily swayed by outer circumstances, I look beyond appearances to the truth of my being. I do this by turning within to a place of peace, the silence. The words of Christian healing remind me, to realize God, we must quiet our outer thoughts and enter into the stillness, peace, and harmony of spirit. When I pray, negative or limiting thoughts dissipate. When I meditate, I enter the silence and realize oneness. In conscious awareness of my higher power and my divinity, I recognize my spiritual attributes. I find the strength I seek, the love that sustains me, and the peace to soothe my soul. As I move back into my day, I remember those attributes. I am renewed in mind and heart. In the silence, I find my true self. I am peaceful. And so it is.
Nice.
I like, in addition to the content itself, of course, which is extraordinary, I like that you placed everything in the present tense.
Yes, that's what it's about. It's supposed to be present tense. Yeah. The Daily Word, the Absolute Word, is designed to be an affirmation in one way or the other.
Yep,
definitely.
Yep.
That's beautiful.
And affirmations aren't in the past and they aren't in the future. They're in the present tense. Okay. Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you, Cher. Thank you to our listeners. Until the next time, this is Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off. Goodbye, my friends.
Bye. Thank you.
Goodbye. And everybody be a little bit zenful this week.
There we go.